Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in now Tuesday, December the 25th. We're doing this primer on discerning God's will and learning a little bit more specific in detail of this, and really just to keep remembering it's step by step by step. Mm-hmm. I will fulfill my promise, but you're going to have to walk with me into that step mm-hmm. by step by step, and keep remembering that the promise is potential but not guaranteed, that in order for you to fulfill it, you have to be with me,
right?
And you have to walk with me along my path of what's going to happen with, and we learned last time that he says, I'll teach you to turn right or turn left, because you're going to have all these forks in the road mm-hmm. that which way do I go? What do I do now? And there are dynamics of things that happen. So there's other people's free wills. Mm-hmm. There's other situations that they control, and they're going to influence the truth of what I'm involved with. And so it's not a matter of God, just change everything so that I have exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. Rather, let me follow you. And I know I'm going to come to these forks in the road, and you're going to have to tell me to turn right or turn left, and I'll follow it. Why? Because I'll get there. You'll get right. me there. So you gave this great story yesterday of you and Dan looking at building a porch. In your mind, you thought it would all be done for Anna's wedding.
Right.
Which was
several months ago now.
So, and it didn't happen that way. Now, the one thing that I know that, because I was part of your processing there, was that per se, that didn't bother you.
Right.
Because, well, I know God has a timing to it, mm-hmm. and it's just not yet, even though I'd like it to be done sooner.
Right.
And you could have pushed it, by the way.
Right. You know, and in fact, there was, when I went back through my journals, one of the things that he said that I think gave us peace in the midst of that, I literally have in quotes one morning when I'm praying and asking about the timing of it, he's like, the delay is for your protection right now. I want your focus on the wedding.
Yeah.
We'll come back to this. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, thanks.
That's a good detail, God. Thanks.
Yeah. But If we know it step by step, and it's his timing, and I would say that that's one of the key things that I keep telling people, is that it's all about his timing. Don't be frustrated that what you thought was going to happen or should have happened by now isn't yet done, because he's working in so many different dimensions and so many things together that I will show you when, and trust when that timing happens. Mm-hmm. is my perfect time, and right. and don't be frustrated by it, which, you know, you weren't, other than, and you had a legitimate question of, since it isn't happening, have we missed it,
right.
per se?
Did something change, or did
we miss the whole thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, by the way, if a guy would have said, yeah, you did, you would have said, okay,
right.
That would have been okay. But you were wondered, and it was a legitimate question. Because you and I have talked about this, and you said you've even given stories of people that get frustrated. Is, I had this promise and nothing happened, mm-hmm. and what do I do with that? You know, and how right. come? And did I miss something? And am I off? And is it just never going to happen? And God says, when you come to that point, which is okay, mm-hmm. just come and talk to me. And if I have a new thing to show you, I will. It could be, I needed you to be focused on this for this period of time, just so that you didn't do something else mm-hmm. that I now need to move you over to a new path. And I'll let you know. Or nope, it's good. Don't worry. Still coming. And he says, I don't mind you doing that. So we're going to look at a story today that reinforces it. And we'll talk about Kathy's story in line of this. Go to Acts chapter 9. This is Saul's conversion. Mm-hmm. And start with verses 1-9.
Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. as he
journeyed. Stop there just for a second. So Saul's a Pharisee. Christ has died and been resurrected, and he's part of the group that says this is complete heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's expanding, and I got to snuff this out.
Right.
So of anybody, of all the different Pharisees, Saul said, personally, I'm going to make sure I snuff this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, hey, Pharisees and high priests, give me the authority. Now, remember, he's in Jerusalem.
Right.
And think about when we talk about the end times Fridays, we're talking about Lebanon, Damascus, and it's a quite a ways north of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And remember, they don't have cars. They don't have airplanes. You know, they have to walk. So he's talking about, I'm going to take a multi-week journey.
Mm-hmm.
And any synagogue I come across, I want to be able to see, is this activity going on around you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go arrest these people. And I'm going to make sure they get in jail and maybe even kill them if we need to, because I'm going to personally snuff this out.
Right.
So but it's not even there in Jerusalem. He's going all the way north. Mm-hmm. To do this. So go ahead, continue the story just to set the stage.
Yeah. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank.
Okay. So he's on his way to snuff it out. And who shows up?
Jesus.
Jesus. And he gets overwhelmed. And his question was what? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I know something's happening here and I can experience you. So what the heck's going on here? Who are mm-hmm. you? And Jesus says, "I am the one you are persecuting."
Right.
Okay, now think about that statement that Jesus said to him. Paul is persecuting people.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus just say to him?
He just said, "You're actually persecuting me."
Because what they're doing is true, and they've experienced me, and I'm within them. And you're persecuting them, but you're actually persecuting me. Who he started to recognize, well, this isn't just a normal situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just another person. This is spiritual. This is God. So you're God. Yeah. Okay. Now, and this is the cool thing about Saul. The next thing he says, "What would you have me do?"
I love that.
Yeah. So think about in a moment of time inside of Saul, which is what was in a sense driving him.
Mm-hmm.
Is I really want to follow God.
Right.
I think I am following God by snuffing it out.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was.
Right. And passionately thought he was right.
Yeah. And I personally am going to prove it out. And then who are you? You know, I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm God. And then his first response is, "What would you have me do?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is interesting. If you read
his response of surrender,
complete surrender.
Yeah.
If you read his books that he wrote, he says, you know, I, Paul, is writing this book. And what he says is, he doesn't say, "I'm a Pharisee. I'm a great apostle. I'm a great church starter."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "A servant of Christ Jesus." And that was his heart all the way from the beginning of his exchange with Christ.
Right.
Well, then what would you have me do?
Right.
Now, what did God tell him?
Told him, "Arise and go into the city and you'll be told what to do."
Yeah.
So he gave him a next step, a single next step.
Okay. So did he speak some Old Testament Bible truth? See, no. Discerning God's will is, what do you have to say to me now? Mm-hmm. And what instruction, what step, like you and Dan looked at, okay, what step do we need to take? You know, and along the way he said, well, go get permits, go get an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Now go get contractors. And you tried nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You got nothing. That was the step. after you got the permits, after you got the architect, after you got the permits, you followed the instruction. Mm-hmm. Now, was that in the Bible? No.
No.
But what was in the Bible is, if you have a heart to follow, I'll speak my instruction. Mm-hmm. And you believe that. You trusted it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. And then at the moment, you know, nothing was happening. So you started wondering, you know, have we missed something? Mm-hmm. Per se, you were looking at that. And then, of course, something else happens, which we'll talk about in a second. He gave Saul, you asked me what I want you to do. I want you to go at this place. By the way, you're not going to be able to see, and I want you to fast, and I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, now think about Saul, who's pretty headstrong.
Right.
Think about what he didn't do at that moment. I'm telling you to go. I'm not really telling you what I want you to do. I just mm-hmm. want you to go here and wait for me to tell you what to do.
Right. And he did it.
Yeah. And what could he have said? See, is like, wait, yeah, but exactly what do you want me to do?
Right.
Hey, I'm not,
what
I don't
do
want
to have in mind. What's the plan?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the plan? And, you know, I want to know, and you're telling me to just go and wait. I don't want to wait, you know, and he could have been, no, I want. Mm-hmm. But, and Jesus didn't tell him any more than that.
Right.
This is what I want you to do. And okay. He willingly took the step. Mm-hmm. In other words, he says, get to this place and I'll tell you what to do next. Now,
right.
That's something that we all need to understand is all I really need to do is get to the next place.
That's so good.
And when I get there, I'll tell you what to do now. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take another step and get to the next place and I'll tell you what to do then. And so it's not like I got to know the whole plan.
Right.
Just what step do you want me to take?
And even as you say that, I'm reminded, you know, you say this so often, but the verse that says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so every step is going to require faith. If he told us what every step past that was, there would really be no faith required in taking the next step, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. Or I would say, okay, got it. I'll see you later. You know,
right.
So take the step. So he does. Okay. So now he's going to this place in Damascus and waiting. Okay, now let's read the rest of the story, verses 10 through 19.
Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all those who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, said, behold, Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus.
So, and this is now, so Ananias is a believer. He's already been converted. He's Jewish, and he understands what it means to walk with God. So he's basically in his quiet time with God, his intimate time with God, abiding time with God. And God says, Ananias. Okay, now, mm-hmm. This goes back to that. If we're a follower of him with a heart to live in his spirit, we will hear his voice.
Right.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, I got to study and make sure I do it correctly. Mm-hmm. While I'm abiding, I hear God speak my name.
Right.
Hey, Ananias, I have something to say to you. And now think.
Pretty specific instructions.
Yeah. And think of Ananias' response. Now, remember Saul, when Jesus spoke to him, his question was, who are you? When God speaks to Ananias, his response was what? Here I am.
Here I am. Here I am, Lord.
I'm used to abiding. I'm used mm-hmm. to hearing your voice. I'm used to talking to you. And you've interrupted me and want to have something to say to me. And I said, Ananias says, I'm willing to listen. What do you have to say to me? I'm ready. Let's go. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I have a relationship with God, and that relationship isn't an intellectual, theological relationship. It's a personal, intimate, hearing God's voice relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what abiding is supposed to look like.
Yes.
Hey, I got something to say to you. Okay, great. What do you got to say? He says, okay, there's a guy named Saul. He's on this street at this house. Now, is that all from the Bible? No. This is all rhema, specific instruction. So keep thinking God's will is, I'm not going to contradict the truth of what I've spoken in the Bible, but I have to get specifics which are unique to you of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there are steps to take in exactly what to do and where to go. So he said, go to this place, and I want you to lay hands on him. And he, Saul, I remember this is now after Saul went to Damascus.
Right.
While he was there, I gave him a vision that you are going to go lay hands on him and heal him of his sight. And so while Saul was following that instruction, God did another thing. I'm going to show you something. A person named Ananias is going to come and lay hands on you. Mm-hmm. Wait for him. Okay. Ananias, go lay hands on him. Okay, Ananias, what does he say?
Are you sure? This guy's pretty mean.
Do you know who you're talking about? This doesn't make sense to me because you're sending me to a place where he's going to arrest me and come against me because that's what he's been doing. And I don't want to go, and it doesn't make sense to me. And I think this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did God mind that conversation?
No.
No. See, I understand that you're fuzzy. I understand you're thinking maybe not. It doesn't make any sense to you when, you know, received a bid from a new contractor that came back to you and said, okay, I'm ready to go and I need the work. So here's my price. And Dan, as he prayed through it, he said, okay, this is good. Let's go. And as you prayed through it, you were like, I don't think this makes a lot of sense to me. I'm not sure about this.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like financially, this could be more than we can handle. And I don't feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you do?
I took it to God. What do you have to say?
Yeah, is that, first of all, it's okay that you aren't sure.
Mm-hmm.
But what would not be okay is for you to say, since I'm not sure, I'm not going to do this.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing to see, because we see this with Ananias too, is in verse 10, he says, comes to him in a vision, says, Ananias, and Ananias' response, here I am, Lord. That is a posture of surrender. So the surrender was, the heart for surrender was there before the instruction was ever given.
Right.
And I think, you know, same in the case with us pursuing this, that God does not, I wasn't coming in with, I'm not going to do this, this is whatever.
Right.
It's no,
right.
I want to do your will,
right?
But I need you to confirm this. Can you walk me through this a little bit? And I think there's a difference there, and we see it right there with Ananias, that starting point of surrender is an important piece of it, right?
Yeah. Because I truly want God's will.
Right.
I'm not confirmed yet, or I'm fuzzy about this, or at the moment, I don't feel great about this.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ananias says, I don't feel good about this.
Right.
I think this is a mistake. So, you know, I'm going to keep asking you, you know, what do you have to say about that? Which he said that to you and Dan is like, well, okay. Now, and this is the neat thing about God is that just like he did with Saul, is you could have said, are we supposed to do this?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's kind of a binary question,
right.
Yes or no. And God says, well, I really don't want you to ask me binary questions. Rather, just what do I have to say about this? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because my path is unique and there's things that I'm up to that I need to show you. So for you two, what I want you to do is pray and fast.
Mm-hmm.
I know you want the answer and I can give you the answer because why? I know the answer.
Right.
But my step is for you, Saul, go in the city and wait, and I'll show you a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Dan and Kathy, I want you to pray and fast. Now, let's say the struggle is primarily coming from you, not Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is, what did Dan do as he received that instruction, go pray and fast?
He also prayed and fasted.
Yeah.
Because we needed to be in neutral and really making sure we're in alignment and unity with the Spirit.
Yeah, see, this is critical, and Linda and I have learned this, is that, see, in a couple, one of you could be thinking, I've already heard this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the answer is yes. Well, I'm not so sure, your partner says. And what I could easily do, and Dan could easily do, is say, look, Kathy, I heard from God, let's go. Mm-hmm. Get with it. But you went and said, well, God, remember, it's not about should we do this or not. That's not the question. Right. What do you have to say about this? I want mm-hmm. you to pray and fast. And now Dan had to receive that too.
Right.
And Dan could have made a mistake and say, well, I don't need to pray and fast. And mm-hmm. God says, son, I told you to pray and fast.
Right.
Do you have a heart to follow me? And what we're trying to show you is it's step by step by step by step. However he delivers that, which could mm-hmm. be what I call a step within a step. Mm-hmm. I could tell you the answer, but I want you to do is go pray and fast. Hey, Saul, I want you to go pray and receive a vision. Hey, Ananias, I've said this, and it doesn't bother me that mm-hmm. you're not confirmed with it, and it doesn't make sense to you. But the good news is you have a heart to follow what I have to say.
Right.
And so God said, yep, he's been converted. I want you to go lay hands on him. He, by the way, and he tells him something really cool, he's going to be one to take this to the Gentiles. Ananias was the first one to hear that. So that's kind of cool.
That. Right.
Hey, by the way, there's a big thing. And don't worry, he'll have his issues that he'll have to deal with. but go lay hands on him, and you will fulfill what I have ordained as my path for you. And it didn't bother me that you were wondering about it or even that it didn't make sense, but I've confirmed it. Yep, go do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now he goes and does it, and he goes and explains to Saul, I know what happened, and here I am to complete what God gave you as instruction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is cool. And this is where, as you get deeper into the scripture, it starts to... So think about Ananias was told, go lay hands on Saul. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he starts to walk to Damascus. Now think about his natural question. Exactly what happened? How did he come from being someone that's going to destroy us to a follower of Christ? Mm-hmm. Well, he was walking on the road and Jesus showed up mm-hmm. and he said this. And so he continued his dialogue with God of natural, tell me more, mm-hmm. tell me more, help me understand more. And God gives it to him. So by the time he gets there, he says, Saul, I know everything that happened to you. Mm. Now, by the way, think of what that would have done for Saul.
Right. So faith affirming, right?
Yeah. Well, why would that have been such faith affirming for Saul that Ananias knew everything about it?
Right. Because this was a big change for Saul, right? this experience that has happened. And so to see an entire other side of the equation having been worked and someone else who was completely oblivious to being there when it happened, knows the details and knows what God is calling and affirming. And Saul had been praying
yeah.
that whole time. And so God had prepared his heart for Ananias as well. And
yeah.
so he was working both sides of that equation.
Yeah. And I know everything about you. And Saul would have said, well, how do you know that? Well, God told me. See, God spoke to me. So this is where, see, Paul starts to develop his understanding is, oh, so you're saying that I can hear God's voice all the time? Yeah. That's how I know all about you. God told me everything about it. And I listened to him and he processed with me and I dialogued with him. And Saul starts to understand, oh, it's about relationship. Mm-hmm. It's about hearing his voice. And the fact that you know everything about me, since you weren't there, how did you know everything about me? Well, God told me. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So what God is doing is working both sides of the deal. Mm-hmm. My timing is perfect. I need you, Ananias, to be part of what I've shown Saul. And Saul is the recipient of this. And he's got to be faithful to the things I'm telling him. And they come together. And you can trust it. Why? Because I have specific instruction for both of you. Mm-hmm. And I needed to get you at the same spot.
Yes.
In a way that you both receive some wonderful things from me. Because that's my heart, is to use you in that way. And it was step by step, specific by specific, just like it happened with you and Dan, is that, well, is this contractor, first of all, is this project still a go? Yep. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about this? Pray and fast. Listen, go back and review everything I've said before. Mm-hmm. I'm reinforcing it. And by the way, honey, it's all about faith. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to go? Let's go. And after having gone through that, which God didn't, are you willing to go?
Right.
Are you willing to go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how come? Why are you willing to go?
Because I know he has spoken and I trust his will is best none better. And if he's telling us to do it, then we're all in.
Yeah. See, you've learned that his will is best and none better. It sometimes doesn't even have to make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear it, confirm it, and have it, I'm willing to go. Why?
Right.
Well, it's gonna be grand. It's gonna be spectacular. And it doesn't bother me that it wasn't in my timing. It doesn't bother me that there's a different thing about it. I get to be part of it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what Saul and Ananias did. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kathy and Dan's story. We see how much it parallels Saul and Ananias. How beautiful it is that you work both sides, that you give instruction. It's very specific. You're working now, even now you're saying to Dan and Kathy, and now I want you to pray for the ones that come to do the work. And I'm going to be doing something there that I'm going to show you about that. And there's more to the story, just like it was with Saul and Ananias. So we just pray that we'll receive it. We'll have a heart to receive that specific instruction and get confirmation of it, which you don't mind giving. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions about today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.